Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. Lee, this is going to be a fun conversation. We've had an opportunity to get to know this lady a little bit over the past several weeks and months, and every time we get a chance to talk with her, I get that much more inspired, that much more fired up, and that much more invested, I think, in this whole topic and idea of servant leadership. Please join me in welcoming back to the Business Radio X microphone, Chief Executive Officer for the Center for Servant Leadership, Miss Pat Filatico. How are you?
I'm great, Stone. Thanks for having me back. Thanks, Lee.
Well, Pat, the Greenleaf Center for Servant Leadership is was the catalyst for this whole servant leadership movement,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, Robert Greenleaf founded it in 1964.
Wow, it's hard to believe that it's been around for that long.
Mm-hmm.
So now, can we talk a little bit about the history of it? How did this come about?
Well, Mr. Greenleaf spent 38 years with AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really through his life experience, watching his father, watching his mentors, looking at how the leaders within AT&T operated, that he came to the conclusion that the best way of leading was by giving yourself to others, making mm-hmm. sure you're invested in others. And when he read the book, A Journey to the East by Hermann Hesse, he looked at the character of Leo and really reflected on how powerful Leo really was, because he was first experienced as a servant. And people were inspired by him, was able to follow him because he was focused on their well-being. And that's when he really came to a conclusion and gave it the name Servant as Leader.
Now, I think it's an amazing story, partially because at the time, AT&T was kind of a monopoly,
mm-hmm.
right? And they didn't have to really work that hard in terms of getting customers, because you didn't have a choice. And for him to have the insight and foresight
mm-hmm.
to say, you know what, we have a responsibility, that says a lot about the character.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So now, as the CEO of the Greenleaf Center for Servant Leadership, what is your mission?
So our mission is to carry on the work that he started in place
mm-hmm.
and focusing on helping individuals and organizations appreciate that the best way of leading is leading from a place of care and compassion for others, to really tap into the understanding that as leaders of any type, our commitment needs to be on the growth of others.
And then holding other people up in order to further your
enriching
cause, right?
Them. Yes, absolutely.
Now, this all sounds good. And is this something that has any empirical evidence that it is good for business as well? Or is this something that just makes you feel good at the end of the day?
There's lots of good empirical evidence. There's a great deal of research that has been done. In fact, the Greenleaf Center, over the course of the last 8 years, have been giving grants to researchers so mm-hmm. that they could go and really study the impact of servant leadership on the bottom line. There's a number of terrific companies that are out there also recognized in leadership. Southwest Airlines, for example, who is really standing out in the crowd in the airline industry, has continuously growing profits year after year. And one of their core values is servant leadership.
Now, does the center work with Southwest Airlines at all?
We actually just visited with them last week and used to have a great relationship based on some Mr. Greenleaf's original writing. We continue and hope to continue to grow that relationship.
Now, how does the center work with companies?
A couple of different ways. Typically, through workshops, companies will invite us in to come and help their leaders understand that servant leadership is a powerful leadership model, that they can achieve great business outcomes by focusing on individual growth. We do keynotes. We invite them to webinars. We have a membership program. There's a broad portfolio, including publications that we make available.
Now, what is the Greenleaf's best test?
Greenleaf's best test is actually stems from Mr. Greenleaf's original essay, in which he told us that the best test of a servant leader, even though it's difficult to administer, is do those that we serve grow as persons? Do they grow healthier, wiser, freer, and more autonomous, more likely themselves to be servants? And then he asks us, what about the best, the least privileged in society? Are they helped, or at least not further disadvantaged? That's a big bar that you really have to reach for. And what we've done in the last year and a half is to codify it as an actual survey instrument with our partner strategic management decisions, mm-hmm. so that consultants can use it with their clients and help those clients ascertain how well they're doing, helping those that they serve grow.
Because this way, you know, you can't improve what you don't measure.
In many ways. We think about it more as shining a bright light on the things that are working well, mm-hmm. learning from those, and then understanding where you can grow further.
So out of 100 companies, how many would you say are kind of living these servant leadership values?
Principles? We talk about, I would say you probably would look about 10% that really? Would know it and use the language about it. How many of them are actually claiming to be excellent at it? Probably none, because they recognize it's a journey, mm-hmm. right? Every day we have to work at it. But there's a great number of companies, many of them on the best places to work list.
Or at least some of the values and principles they're following.
Yes. For example, TD Industries in Dallas, another organization that we work closely with, they've been on the great places to work list 19 out of 19 years wow. that the survey's been in place.
Since the beginning of the survey?
Since the beginning, yeah.
Wow. And then I'm sure there's a correlation between the servant leadership principles and best places to work.
Absolutely.
There's probably some of the same values.
Very, very much the same values.
Now, coming up in November, you have a big conference, an annual conference?
Yes, we do.
November 2nd through 4th.
Absolutely, in Grapevine, Texas.
And then what happens at this conference?
At the conference, we're going to do three things. We're going to focus on what servant leadership is. Then we're going to focus on how do we know it works, not only reflecting on the research, but also reflecting on the great stories from companies that have been doing it for a while. And then we're going to focus on why do we do it. And the why is all about creating a more loving and just society. So while we work on our own personal journey, we work on what it can mean to our organizations in terms of driving success, the bigger question is, what are we doing for the good of society? And that's what we hope to elevate on the last day of the conference.
Now, during the conference, is a chance for companies that believe in the principles of servant leadership to get together, connect, and network, right? To
Absolutely.
Share best practices.
Absolutely. We're making it lots of different opportunities for companies, individuals to connect mm-hmm. outside of their own small cohort so they can learn from each other.
And then there's a lot of education as well, right?
Yeah.
You're having some people share best practices mm-hmm. and breakout sessions and things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have underneath each one of those three themes. So what is it? We'll have experts talking about the key practices that they put in place in breakout sessions. The how do we know it works? We'll have a review of the research. We'll have panel presentations that have business leaders as well as nonprofit leaders on a second panel, military and government leaders, so that you can see how cross-sector the success is and can be. And then finally, we'll talk about this Greenleaf's best test. On day three, it's all about loving and just society. And in that, we're going to talk about attitude, your personal attitude. It's got to come from a place of joy. It's then got to be reflected in relationships where we have respect and empathy. And then we have to be able to engage in dialogue that is respectful, that focuses on understanding, and then respect for a different point of view. In fact, we've named that one, Don't Call Me Out, Invite Me In.
Empathy, so important, and it seems like not at top of mind for a lot of people in today's world.
Something we all have to work on is to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes
right.
before we make a judgment. Greenleaf was big on that topic of acceptance. We have always to accept, never reject. We don't have to accept that everyone's behaviors are exactly what we want them to be, or that their opinions are something that we agree with, but we should always accept their point of view from where they come from. And it's an important theme for us to continue to move forward with.
Now, for you right now, what can we be doing to help you?
Just what you're doing to continue to help us promote the message that not only is servant leadership something that creates great outcomes, but it's something that really enables us to create a better society. If we all learn to respect each other, if we all learn to have better awareness of how we are perceived and how we impact others, if we all learn to lead by listening, we're going to have a better place to live.
Now, every day as CEO, your job is to kind of evangelize for the group, right?
Exactly.
What's the most rewarding part of the job for you?
The most rewarding part is spending time with individuals who are interested, committed, and are on their own servant leadership journey. I grow by talking to so many other wonderful people. It's great. I also have a wonderful team that just brings so much joy to our everyday occurrence. In fact, last week, two of us had to go on a business trip, and one of us needed some help with babysitting, and right. A third member of the team jumped in and did just wow. That. That's a team that really practices servant leadership.
Now, is there any misconceptions that you run across when people may think it's one thing and it really isn't?
Yeah, there's a couple of them. First of all, some people think that it's 100% about volunteerism. Mm-hmm. And while giving back to the community is an important part of servant leadership, it's not the only part. The second misconception is that it's soft and it's feel good and it's nice to have. In fact, you started the conversation right. With, is this just a nice thing to do? People don't realize that it really does create better results for organizations. And doesn't that just make sense? If I'm happy, if people invest in my growth, if I'm supported, aren't I more likely to be innovative, take more chances, learn from mistakes? And doesn't that help organizations thrive? It just makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
It just makes sense.
But like you said, the vast majority of companies aren't kind of going down this road.
Because let's face it, over the course of the last few decades, when we go to business school, the kinds of leadership that's taught is not necessarily a servant leadership model. That's changing.
Mm-hmm.
That is changing. We have great relationships with higher education and the attached business schools that are saying integrating servant leadership into what they're doing every day. We have relationships with Georgia Tech, State University of New York at Buffalo, Seton Hall University, Columbus State here in Georgia, North Carolina State, Gonzaga University. They're all integrating servant leadership into their leadership curriculum.
It's good. It's becoming part of business schools?
More and more. As the research really comes to the forefront, that's when the business schools grab hold.
Right.
Right?
They love it gets those published. Case studies.
The case studies, it's published, it's cited. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the evidence that it works. And as the evidence is out there, that's where the business schools grab on.
So now, are you looking to have more conversations with universities to implement this as part of their curriculum?
We are, but mainly we're inviting them through the conference to mm-hmm. come and spend time talking to each other.
Right.
Quite honestly, they're the best way of getting it proliferated is for universities to spend time with other universities that are getting really good impact from the program.
Now, at the leadership level, is this something that the CEO stumbles upon and then drives it to the organization, or are there other people in the organization that kind of can do it from the top down or the bottom up or both?
Yeah, all of the above. I don't know that it's necessarily something that they stumble upon. Perhaps mm-hmm. it's something that was always inside the CEO, the belief that the way to lead is by focusing on the people. And no matter where you've been, most companies will say it's all about the people,
right?
Right. There's a few of them that actually behave that way day in and day out. So a top-down model is absolutely outstanding. You know, the companies I mentioned before, very much top-down.
Right.
TD Industries, Southwest Airlines, Popeyes, They were all focused at the CEO saying, this is the kind of culture we want,
right,
and inviting the leadership team in and saying, how are we going to make this possible? Not dictating it from the top, because you can't.
Just right? Role modeling it.
Role modeling it, paying it forward is how that gets moved. But sometimes within organizations, that's not always possible. It's not going to start from the top. In fact, I was had at a roundtable last week with a young gentleman who was just looking at his own department and saying, can I do this inside an organization that doesn't embrace it?
Right.
So I quoted Cheryl Batchelder at the time, who told me, yes, create a microculture. You be in control of the culture on your own team and demonstrate that leading this way is the right way to get outcomes. And oh, by the way, it then becomes contagious. I want to do what he's doing.
That's right.
Yeah.
It can virally spread.
Exactly.
So now for this conference coming up, what are some of the things you need? You're just trying to get the word out about
different... We're trying to get the word out, invite sponsors to support us and collaborate mm-hmm. with us through our exhibits and bookstore. We are so excited to be able to offer this program again in November. We haven't had one in 3 years, so there's a lot of pent-up energy on our part right. and demand, we hope, in the market. So everyone's invited to go to our website and learn more about the conference, and registration will open next week.
And that's
greenleaf.org/conference.
And then what are some of the benefits for a sponsor?
It ranges bronze through platinum, so different levels of tickets and membership in the Greenleaf Center, access to produce to promote their books in our bookstore, exhibit space, signage and marketing and cross-marketing opportunity, and from bronze to platinum, as you would imagine, right. they just get stronger and stronger.
And then companies of any level can, at any size can participate, right?
Absolutely.
There are sponsorships for all price points.
Absolutely. And on top of it, we have what we call our host committee. So if someone's not ready to step up as a sponsor, if you bring 5 or 10 people, we'll promote you as a host committee member and provide a deeper discount on the tickets.
Now, on the website, is there some kind of education for somebody who wants to learn more about the mission?
Yes. So there's a lot of information on the website. So you can read what is servant leadership. It is our biggest page that is hit on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So you can get a lot of good content just by reading the website. But there's additional programs available for individuals of all sectors, students and nonprofit folks and professionals across multiple sectors. And books, lots of opportunities
right.
to read.
There's a lot of material to learn about servant leadership, and mm-hmm. especially the way that Greenleaf Center for Servant Leadership kind of talks about it and mm-hmm. works through it.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Well, Pat Flatico, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your story.
Thank
you. It's so important that companies really research this and really start implementing some of these principles and values that will serve them financially, and it'll be good for their communities that they serve.
And the one last point, Lee, is let's not think it's going to be pixie dust. We're going to decide it's servant leadership and off we go. This is hard work.
Right.
Because we got to change ourselves in how we want to lead.
Right. It's not a magic wand that just solves the problem by saying we're servant leaders.
You've got to work at it.
You got to do the work.
Right.
Trust the process.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show.
Thank you, Lee.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.